We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to the final Bear in Mind of the calendar season. As we're going to talk with Athletic Director Jim Knowlton, different conditions than we normally would do. Normally, we're face-to-face, but today, based on the conditions around not only the Bay Area, but around the country because of the coronavirus, we're on the Golden Bear Hotline, I guess we'll call it today, Jim. And we'll do a number of different things, want to review the year. But first of all, just tell us, you know, what it's been like, you know, on campus. I understand you're at home. I'm at home. People really don't need to go out if they don't have to. So what was it like on campus before it kind of got shut down and now everybody's working at home?
Well, you know, I think to start off, Todd, you know, this is something that we just haven't seen in our lifetime. And, you know, what's been really interesting is to see how well, you know, our university leadership team and, you know, our athletic department leadership team has really worked to proactively manage a set of circumstances that no one could have ever really predicted. And I think as we've done that and worked closely together and kept the students and student athletes at the forefront of our minds and also kept, you know, the 300 employees that we have working in the athletic department and the, you know, the many others that are staff and faculty around the campus really kept their health in mind. It's been, you know, just a fast moving train. And, you know, right now I think the campus is really quiet. You know, we were there yesterday and you know, it's minimal manning as we try to, you know, certainly protect the business, the enterprise, keep the essential things moving. But boy, it's been an interesting turn of events for sure.
Well, no question. I mean, for athletics, you know, we first got wind of this and how it would affect everybody going forward when we were at the Pac-12 tournament last Wednesday. The Bears were playing in the evening session of the men's tournament. They had played the morning session, and the Pac-12 announced between sessions that starting on Thursday, which would be the quarterfinals, that there would be a limited number of fans, friends and family, but they would still play games. We went ahead and played in front of what the normal size crowds would be on Wednesday night. And then it was Thursday morning when I know I got word, the team got word, that the Pac-12 tournament was being canceled. Subsequent to that, the NCAA announced that they were going to cancel the NCAA tournament for the men and the women. And subsequent to that, you know, all collegiate athletics, the winter sports came to an end at that point in time. The spring sports were done at that point in time. Take us through, if you would, Jim, that, you know, the Wednesday and maybe early Thursday morning and how this decision all came about, certainly from the Pac-12 network or Pac-12 conference.
Well, I think if you back up even 24 hours before that, you know, I think about, you know, leadership decisions and tough decisions that you have to make. And, you know, we were laboring over not taking the band and the spirit group to Vegas. You know, it had gotten to a point where we were all concerned. And you know, you hate to make those kind of decisions because the band is such an important part of our team, and as is the spirit group and Oski. And, you know, we made that hard decision that we wouldn't take them to Vegas. And then you fast forward a day and a half, and we're not even playing the tournament. And, you know, the spring schedule's been canceled. And you look back and say, boy, that was not as big a decision as I thought, because there were a lot of big decisions that were coming in quick succession. You know, I think really there was a lot of different pieces that played into it. I think we're all following the national narrative and watching and, you know, thinking about player safety and fan safety and really social distancing. And it just became very quickly untenable to think that, you know, we'd want to put that many people in a confined space when, you know, the rest of the country is talking about social distancing. And I think certainly the accelerant was when the NBA canceled their season. Then it really, you know, it really changed the landscape of athletics overall, and certainly college athletics.
And so what has it been like for you as the head of an athletic department? It's got 800 plus student athletes. What's it been like for you in the last 4 or 5 days?
Well, it's been an interesting weekend because I had probably 14 events that I was supposed to be at, 12 or 14 events that were on my calendar for Saturday and Sunday, which is a normal weekend, and we didn't have any. And so, you know, changing from supporting student athletes and coaches and evaluating how we're doing presenting events to, you know, really trying to cancel events and cancel flights and cancel hotels and checking in on student athletes and coaches and staff, and then also challenging our staff to take a look at this and say, we've got to stay focused on student athletes and our staff safety, but how do we use this time to continue this journey from good to great? How do we continue to stay focused on the things that we've developed in our strategic plan? How do we do some of the projects that, you know, we've been trying to do, but because during the year we're constantly at, running at a fast rate of speed. And so we're really looking at a lot of those things and have already started implementing some of those to really continue to keep people engaged, to keep them connected to the organization and to allow them to continue to grow. You know, we're going to do an all-staff meeting tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if we can get 300 people on a Zoom call. And then we're going to do a head coaches meeting. And the goals of those are really to stay connected. I know our coaches are staying connected with their student athletes, but, you know, so many things are happening when you look at, you know, what we're doing. It's just a microcosm of what's happening in society. And, you know, you hear stories of, you know, people who are now home trying to take care of their one and their three-year-old. And maybe they have a spouse that's a medical provider, so they're not there. And they're also trying to, you know, juggle multiple other things, like make sure there's food. And yeah, it's a challenging time. And I really feel like we're trying to also move forward, cognizant of the struggles that everyone is having, just to do the basic things. So Yeah, so we've been very, very communicative. That's why my cell phone has gone dead multiple times today. But we really want to keep everyone connected and certainly keep our finger on the pulse on how people are doing.
I know last week you started a big give. I think it was on the 12th. And so you still have, I mean, looking towards the future, you still have to find a way to promote season tickets for hopefully a football season that we will have starting in August in Las Vegas. And then the home games as a result, obviously trying to generate money just for the, you know, the general fund on campus as well. I mean, how do you go about doing that? Because you can't really have the face-to-face meetings that you'd love to have with boosters and so forth, season ticket holders. How do you go about doing that?
So, you know, I think we're doing a lot by phone. I think one of the, and I hate to call it a blessing, but one of the things that really has helped us was the fact that we lost power a couple times during the course of our semester. And it really forced us to think about how we do our business and what are our backup plans. And so, you know, we're still selling tickets. Our ticket office is fully operational. It's just out of people's homes. You know, they're making phone calls. They're connecting with, you know, our fans and our alums. Our development office is doing the same exact thing that they would be doing. It's just we don't have the big events that we would normally do that you're many times are a part of, where we can put 100 or 200 alums together and have Justin Wilcox or Mark or Sharman or someone come and share the vision of where we're going. So we're really working hard to stay connected. You know, Big Give was really a great day for the university. I think the university raised $10 million, which was $6 million more than last year. And in athletics, we raised a little bit more money, but we also had a lot more people who participated at a time where, you know, the stock market was going up and down in a crazy way. And I just think it's indicative of the energy surrounding a lot of the great things that are happening in the department and at the university. And, you know, I feel like our fans and our alums are really, really invested in our success. And it's so important for us to be able to continue on this journey to exceptional.
Now, continuing on that monetary theme, obviously with the cancellation of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, that is a gigantic source of revenue for colleges around the country, and not just, you know, what we call Power Five, but, you know, for virtually everybody. Have you heard any discussions on, you know, from a monetary standpoint, what might happen vis-a-vis this year and going forward?
Well, as you can imagine, we're having lots of phone calls about it. You know, we had a call with Mark Emmert today, and, you know, just to put things in perspective, the men's basketball tournament generates somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 million for the NCAA. And that money is what they then distribute to Division I, Division II, and Division III schools. And for many schools, that's a significant part of their budget. And so they'll lose on the NCAA tournament. Maybe it's 600. They'll lose $600 or $700 million dollars because of not having this tournament. And so, you know, everybody has insurance, everybody has some reserves, but it certainly is going to be a different look on distributions. And as a result, you know, athletic departments are going to be taking some hard looks at resources. You know, and then the Pac-12 has a distribution, and it's the same thing. Without the spring season, there's certainly some challenges. Now, the good news for us is most of what we generate revenue through for the Pac-12 is during the fall and the winter, and so most of that was in the books. But still, we're looking at everything, and I'd love to tell you that I've figured it all out, but we're really at the discovery phase and trying to determine what are the facts and what are the assumptions and what will we be able to, you know, hang our hat on, and we'll figure that out in the next you know, weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, because it looked like for all the world that the Pac-12 had a legitimate chance maybe to get six teams in the men's tournament. There were going to be six teams in the women's tournament, and those things compound themselves monetarily as you go forward over the course of the years. And so, you know, tough to lose out on what was, you'd have to consider, a bonanza year in basketball for the conference. So we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out, no question about it. And then the other thing is that...
Well, hey, Todd, let me just say this, too. I don't know if everybody knew this, but we were on our way to a Pac-12 championship for our men's basketball program.
That's right. Well, we have, if nothing less, Jim, we've got a 1/8 claim to that thing, right? We're
exactly.
One of the final 8 teams. Okay.
Right, exactly. And so, that was a fun night. And as you know, we haven't ended our men's basketball season with a win since 1999. So, that was a special night against Stanford, beating them. And certainly we have a 1/8 of a claim on that trophy.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, that was the NIT with Ben Braun and those guys went back to New York and had terrific success. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. In postseason play, 1999, last time the men. And to kind of talk more about men's basketball, and football. I mean, it's been a while since the Bears had both the axe and won the season series in men's basketball against Stanford. Talk a little bit about the basketball programs, because Charmin ended up beating several ranked teams down the stretch. A big win at Arizona, big win in the conference tournament against the nationally ranked Arizona State as well. And Mark's team ended up tied for eighth in the conference, beat Stanford in the conference tournament. Talk about the basketball seasons.
Well, I can't tell you how proud I am of both our men's and women's basketball programs, our student athletes, and our coaching staff. I mean, they really put their heart and souls into this season. And, you know, when you look at what Charmin did down the stretch, it was amazing. So proud of the kids. No quit, which is exactly what you expect at Cal. And we really did win some fabulous games towards the end of the year, which really bodes well for the future. And Charmin's got a great recruiting class coming in, and I am so excited about the future. I'm excited about what she's done. I knew she was great, and she has absolutely proved that she's the right person to be leading our program. And, you know, on the men's side, after two really tough years, Mark came in, and I think the expectations might have been a little bit low, but I knew he was going to absolutely coach and get his kids to, you know, just leave everything on the court. And they did that and more. And when you look at, the number of wins in the Pac-12, beating Stanford, I mean, it was just so many highlights, even though it was still a tough season. And, you know, again, I'm excited about the future for both of those coaches and those programs.
No question about that. You know, and the timing of this is obviously unfortunate for those teams that were going to be in postseason play. You look at, you know, the track and field indoor championships were like the next day, I think, if I remember correctly. And then you've got, you know, the aquatics programs, men's swimming and diving won the Pac-12 championship again. Ryan Hoffer was the swimmer of the meet. The women were going to challenge for another national championship. And unfortunately, they won't get a chance, at least this year, to compete. There's been talk of possibly extending the eligibility of some of these student athletes so that they could come back next year and realize maybe a dream and compete for a national championship. Where do you sit on that discussion?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that, it's really, really hard on those programs that we're going to be competing for national championships. We had student athletes that were, in track and field that had a chance for a national championship. And obviously our men's swim team, women's swim team, you know, our gymnastics program, just we saw so much good and so much momentum from all of those programs, and to have the season cut short, it's just heartbreaking. You know, especially for our seniors, my heart goes out to them, and it's just unfortunate. And I think, your question about what happens next, the NCAA came out and talked about finding some ways to look at the eligibility for our spring sports, and I think ADs have also been looking at what happens with our winter sports. And I think those discussions are going on right now. I've been on several calls this week to talk about each of those and, you know, what our thoughts are as ADs and what the challenges are, what the benefits are. And so I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, we'll get to some decisions. But, you know, this is the human impact on our young men and women that had seasons either cut short or didn't, you know, trained and just to get started in their season. Yeah, it's hard. And I certainly, my heart goes out to each of them.
Yeah, no question about that. So is this finals week, Jim, or is it next week?
Well, we're getting ready for finals and then spring break. So spring break is next week, and then the kids are off for a week until the 30th. So we have made some decisions that, take us to the 30th, and we're reevaluating. But, you know, based on the current situation, the chancellor has made the decision that all of the teaching will take place online through commencement. So you can imagine we're now looking out and looking at, you know, what happens with commencement, what happens with, some of the other major events that we have. We have some key thank you events that we do, and all of those are probably not going to happen in person. And so now how do you do something similar to what you and I are doing? Instead of sitting in front of each other, how do we still thank people, in other ways? And so that's what we're spending our time on right now, is figuring those out.
What do students, athletes do, assuming that they come back to campus? You know, if you're doing online, I guess you wouldn't have to come back to campus for a lot of that stuff. But what do your student athletes do vis-a-vis training? I mean, do they have to do that on their own? Are they excluded from going to the weight rooms at Haas and at Memorial Stadium? How does that work for, you know, the next couple of months?
Well, right now, all of those are shut down. RSF is shut down. You know, Simpson Center is shut down, and Haas weight room is shut down. And so we probably have maybe 1/5 of our student athletes that are still here on campus. But most of them have gone home. And so I would imagine they're, depending on whether they were in season, traditional, non-traditional, we're sending them optional workouts where, you know, we're talking to them primarily about education and making sure that we're continuing to stay focused on their classes and on their studies. And so, yeah, that's really become a big challenge, is keeping them focused on, not keeping them focused, because that's not the right term, but just making sure that this is a different way to learn. Many kids love to be in the classroom, and that's where they learn best. And so now with these alternative means, it's making sure that they stay on their academics and stay caught up. And most of them are going to be working from home, working out in their local areas. Because I would tell you, probably everywhere in the country, most gyms are being shut down. So it's probably what you're doing or I'm doing, going out for a walk or going out for a run or, you know, doing some push-ups and sit-ups in your house. But that's probably what everyone's doing right now.
That's kind of what I've been doing the last couple of days, a couple of walks and do some sit-ups, some crunches and some push-ups. I did go because the weather was decent where I live up here in Healdsburg. I did go for my first bike ride in a long time, because I'll be honest, I'm a fair weather biker. If the weather's not great, I'm not out there on a bicycle and I'm not golfing. And my legs were shaking for about an hour after that bike workout, because I'm not used to doing that. Now, I like to do it in the summertime, so hopefully it'll keep me in shape. But yeah, a lot of people in the same situation that, you know, in the gymnasiums, I mean, you just got so many people in tight quarters touching, you know, racks and weights, et cetera. It's a good idea to close those things down. No question about it. And then it's also going to have an effect on your summer camps, I would imagine, too. I mean, you get camp season starts, you know, in June with, you get young people on campus that either they're there for instruction from your coaches, or maybe it's part of a recruiting visit as well. So that'll be another part of the challenge with the general public, not just your student, you know, your campus situation.
Yep, absolutely. And as I said, those are all the things we're looking at, because there's just no telling of when we're going to get back to some form of normalcy. And, you know, I've heard 8 weeks, I've heard 10 weeks, And each of those poses a different problem that we want to be prepared for and we want to be proactive about.
No question about it. And I want to leave you with some positive news you had in the last couple of weeks vis-a-vis fundraising. A tremendous gesture by Linda Brothers as part of her estate, a huge gift to help support women's athletics. Talk a little bit about, you know, Linda's tremendous contribution to the program.
Now, we could not be more appreciative of what Linda did, and her investment in our women's sports is going to be transformational for us. And as you know, we just endowed our first women's head coaching position in the history of our school, which was a giant step. And then to have Linda right on the heels of that, you know, do a, you know, an eight-figure gift to women's sports, it really, I mean, it almost makes me giddy to think about that investment and the ability for us to continue to support, you know, our women in athletics. And, you know, when I talk to folks like Lou Lilly, who was at the very beginning of women's sports here at Cal, and just how far we've come on the backs of folks like her and Joan Parker, it's just amazing. And it's exciting, and it's exactly what Cal should be doing. And so, you know, my biggest thanks to Linda for that investment.
Yeah, tremendous investment. Certainly everybody appreciative of her efforts to continue on with the excellence in women's athletics. Well, Jim, I don't want you to run your battery all the way down because you'll probably have another big phone call coming up here when we get off the air, but we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're just extremely busy. And, you know, if anybody sees a guy on a bicycle on a walk with headsets on and talking to himself, that's probably you out there trying to get some things done and trying to move forward in a very tough environment and situation. Jim, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time and good luck over the next couple of months.
Todd, thanks so much. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for all that you do to help keep people informed with Bear in Mind. And, you know, just tell folks we've got a lot of things happening, a lot of momentum, and we are really excited about next year, starting out with our football program and with all 30 of our sports. So thanks again, and well, go Bears.
You got it, Jim. Go Bears. Of course, the season ended in Las Vegas for basketball, and it hopefully will begin in Las Vegas with football next August. Well, that wraps it up for this final edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And remember, if you want to keep up on a lot of this stuff, what's going on, what's being decided, this, that, and the other, calbears.com is your place for all the up-to-date information. So hit that as often as possible to keep up to date with Cal Athletics. Well, that wraps it up for the year, and we appreciate all of you that have listened throughout the course of the last, you know, 25, 26 weeks. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of great guests, a lot of tremendous information. We hope we've entertained as well. So until next year, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.